Welcome to the Cap Tech Podcast with President Sims. I am president of Capital Technology University. We're a small, private, nonprofit, fully accredited university in Laurel, Maryland, focused on building and enhancing careers for industry in demand areas. We have been in business since 1927 and focus on STEM or management of STEM degrees at the bachelor's, master's, and doctoral levels. Today, we have Bernard Wright, president of WAVE. Welcome. Bernard, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Could you provide us an overview of your industry background?
Sure. So my background in IT goes back about 25 years. And I think that the furthest back position that is most relevant is going to be, I was chief technology officer for EDS, Electronic Data Systems, and they were later acquired by HP. In that capacity, I was responsible for our ATF ESA 3 account, and later became technical organization delivery manager, responsible for our law enforcement portfolio, which was Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, and Department of State. After that, I became director of technology for Hillary Clinton during her Senate reelection and presidential campaign in 2008. And from there, I had a couple of other private sector positions and then became CIO for Prince George's County for 6.5 years. And after Prince George's County, I became CIO for WSSC Water. And from there became CIO and VP of Operations for Ironville Technologies. And that role consisted of not only being responsible for IT, but for operations, manufacturing, governance, and IT security. And that brings me to my current role, where I'm president for WAVE Welcome. And in this capacity, I offer fractional CIO services, technology strategy and roadmap development, and a number of other efficiencies around technology.
That's a great background. From your experience, what do you think higher education should have in degree programs that prepare students to meet what industry would like in a graduate for those job areas that you mentioned?
Sure, that's a great question. And I would approach it from the perspective of what you're going to need once you're actually in the role and working independently. So I think that universities are doing a great job of applying technical skills. I've had the privilege of working with a lot of Capital Technology University students in the past. And I had an internship program when I was CIO for WSSC and also for Prince George's County, and brought on a number of different students from local colleges and universities that ranged from University of Maryland, Bowie State University, Capital Technology University, and others. And what I saw was that the Capital Technology University students certainly held their own. And the way that they held their own was just their ability to be able to think on their feet. They were very analytical and they had strong technical skills. So the internship program really focused on a lot of the soft skills that are going to be necessary for being successful in a position. And I think that that's a lot of what companies are looking for. And when I say soft skills, I'll be a little more specific. So you're looking for creativity, you're looking for flexibility, the ability to be able to think on your feet, be a great communicator, and just realize that you really don't know what's going to be around the corner. So the Capital Technology University students did do a very good job of that. And then also the students from University of Maryland did a great job. And I would say that the parallels between the two is that there really was a strong focus with both universities on sciences, the more of the technical disciplines like cybersecurity, network engineering, robotics, artificial intelligence, which requires a very analytical mindset. And those are things that really are going to be important for being successful, because you really do have to first see the problem and then think about a solution for being able to solve that problem. So the ability to be able to do that, not specific to a technology, but whatever problem you're confronting, is going to be very important.
Do you see the need for certifications as well as degrees?
Well, so that's another good question. And I have mixed feelings about certifications. I think that certifications really are an indication that you've exhibited enough discipline to get the certification, but it's not necessarily an indicator of future success. So there are some certifications that, like CISSP for security, that do indicate that you're in the top percentile of certain career professionals. But for other certifications, they're pretty much useless. And this is coming from someone who's looked at probably thousands of resumes and interviewed hundreds of people. So I've had people who have had great certifications, great education, but they weren't the best employee. And you contrast that against someone who doesn't necessarily have the educational pedigree or the certifications, and they've turned out to be great people because of the soft skills. So certifications, I think what it does is it really gets you in the door. But beyond that, it really is a matter of making sure that you have those other wraparound skills that are going to be necessary for success.
What would either a new graduate or, say, a student advancing their career with a master's or doctorate typically do in a job, and what type of position titles might they have with those jobs?
Sure. So that would be more specific to the degree they're coming out with. So if you're coming out with a computer science degree, you're probably going to be looking at a developer, engineer, a title like that. But you're probably going to be more, the highest I've seen people come out of college and operate is probably mid-level. And that's going to be more taking the requirements, executing the requirements, but not necessarily supervising how those requirements are implemented. So it is going to be taking orders in the beginning until you prove yourself, and then you can start to move up and lead teams. So business analysis is going to be another very important role that people are going to step into, and especially with how technologies are emerging around robotic process automation, data analytics, business intelligence, artificial intelligence, machine learning. There is a huge need for being able to pull requirements and understand how those requirements relate to the business. And what's happening now is a departure from where we were in technology 20 years ago. 20 years ago, an IT person could work in a corner and control the entire environment. But what's happening now is there's a tighter integration between technology and the business, which means that the newer graduates have to understand how the business operates a lot more than someone who's graduating 20 years ago. So just the ability to be able to communicate well, going back to the tip that I gave earlier, and being able to really see where the future is heading and to translate those into how technology can solve whatever challenge you're looking to address is going to be paramount. So coming out, you probably are going to be more hands-on than you're going to be later in your career. You're going to be interfacing a lot more directly with the development team as opposed to the business. You'll be included in some meetings, but you probably won't be leading the discussion, but you are going to play a critical role in making sure that whatever solution is delivered.
What would you say the current industry demand is for these type of graduates?
I think that it's growing. So with autonomous vehicles and all of these very new things that you're hearing about, we're looking to identify people that are able to come in and hit the ground running and help to move the ball forward. And right now there really is a gap in terms of finding people that have those skills. So there's certainly more demand than there is talent to address that demand, which is why we're having to go overseas for so many roles. I mean, it really is a matter of making sure that people can think the way that industry is looking for and being able to sell yourself and say what your value proposition is. So I think that it's only going to grow in terms of where technology is headed and just the opportunities for people who are able to step into those technologies and be effective. For example, there is a huge infrastructure bill being proposed at the federal level, and there is a lot of technology that's a part of that. So part of what President Biden is looking to do now is to make sure that there are more green initiatives being put in place. And that means that sensors for highways, it means sensors in vehicles, it means vehicles that can run on their own, ways that you can be smarter about which substances or solutions are being put in place in terms of data analytics and business intelligence. Those are all technology jobs. So people that can come in and not necessarily do what they learned in school, but adapt to wherever the industry is headed on the fly are going to have long and successful careers.
If we're looking at, let's say, a traditional age student who completes their bachelor's degree, how important is it for somebody to go out and do an internship with one of these companies along that path while they're getting their bachelor's?
It's absolutely critical. And that's a big part of the reason I led the internship and apprenticeship programs I did, because one of the things that employers are looking for is evidence of the fact that you've done it before, number one, and that you've been successful in doing it before. So the experiential learning models, being able to work in groups, all of those are critical skills and measures of future success that employers are looking for. So what I would say is that you probably need to start that internship program or get that hands-on experience in high school, if possible, and then just continue it all the way through your college years. So for my internship program at Prince George's County, at one time I had 36 students, and a good number of those were high school students. And I also continued those all the way through to entering their careers, so new career professionals as well. And the whole goal was to make sure that you were constantly pushing and applying additional skills that were more complex as the person got older and got more experience. So I think that's absolutely critical, like I said before, for everyone to make sure that they are understanding how things they're learning in the classroom are going to apply to real world settings, to go beyond theory into practical application.
I know here at Capital Tech, we have an extensive program that we help students from day one work on their resume, get internships, participate in career fairs, oral and written communication skills, and also how to fill in a clearance properly, because so many of the companies in our market are driven by security clearances. So we help our undergraduate students do that. With the advanced students, say somebody wants to come back to school for a master's or a doctorate, how do you see a person making that decision for a company, and what should they want to gain out of that whenever they go back to school for these advanced degrees?
So I'll answer that this way. So the programs I put in place were looking at three different levels of individuals. So the first was someone who was looking to go into their careers. Their needs are going to be completely different. Someone who just entered their careers, just making sure they were successful and learning how to be leaders. But the people who I look at as being doctoral students or people who are looking to get an advanced degree, they're probably in a lot of cases going to be more seasoned career professionals, and their needs are going to be different from the previous two. So for those individuals, a lot of times they're going back to get that advanced degree because they've either encountered a challenge or they're looking to do something where they see it as an emerging opportunity. So it really is even more important there that you do focus on those things that are going to make them successful in applying the degree that they've earned. So from there are going to be different measures. There are going to be different models. There are going to be different challenges that I put out for them to make sure that they're able to understand how to pivot from what they were doing before into what they're going to be doing in the future.
What do you see of your industry segment? What is the future that you see coming up in the next 5 years? What do you see are the needs? What's technology that maybe is developing that we're not even thinking about now? What do you see that as?
For people that aren't prepared, it probably is a scary future. So you look at how cryptocurrencies are becoming more acceptable. You're looking at how cars are starting to drive themselves. You're looking at how analytics are predicting what's going to happen. But for those that embrace the future and where technology is headed, there is a lot of opportunity. So in terms of where we're going to be in a few years, I think that a lot of the way that we operate is going to be automated. You take a look at smart thermostats, smart refrigerators, smart appliances across the board. You take a look at how when you go online, you're getting suggestions based on your search history. That's all technology at work. And so technology really is going to control a lot more of our lives in the future, which doesn't necessarily mean that jobs are going to be replaced. It means that jobs are going to be different. So we really are entering a different realm in terms of human history, where technology does control a lot more. But that also means that people have to move on and be prepared to take on jobs that are going to be a lot more technical than they were in the past. I mean, we've had these different revolutions all throughout our history, from being hunter-gatherers to where we are today. And it's simply a matter of us realizing that technology is going to be a critical part of future careers at every level. So it's not just people that are IT professionals. Technology is a part of every single career field, whether it's health and human services, public safety, legal, you name it. There is a technology component to it. So I think that everyone is best served making sure that you get up to speed as much as possible.
Are there any specific associations, if I'm a student, whether I'm a new traditional student or I'm doing an advanced degree, are there any associations that you recommend that I become involved with to network and see where industry is going? Is that helpful? And are any of them that you can think of that specifically you should look at joining?
So I think that it probably varies depending on what your focus is. So, and then also based on your demographic as well. So for me, being a Black male, there are lots of organizations that are specifically focused on minorities. So for someone who is very specific, I would start there. I would start to take a look at your demographics, because there are so many groups that are set aside. There's Girls Who Code for Women. There's the National Society of Black Engineers for Black Engineers. And, you know, so there are very specific organizations in that regard. But what I would suggest that everyone does, and this is something that I've always said to my interns, is that they should be on LinkedIn and make sure that they're networking as much as possible, because that really helps to guide a lot of the opportunities that are going to come up in the future. Just by conversations, just by actively posting, just by networking online, I've created opportunities for myself. So for someone who's just coming out, I would strongly suggest that they set up a profile, link to people such as yourself, such as myself, and start to network and see what you can do online. And you'll also start to get suggestions in terms of associations and societies you can join as well.
If I was a student, started my new career out, say I was a traditional age student, so I started in my 20s at a company. Along the way, for maybe the first 5 years, what would you identify as maybe the one or two real big takeaways that I should focus on gaining my skill set? Because, from my perspective, working with industry and education for many years now, one of the things that industry always told me is, we like for your students coming out of university to have a general awareness of cost. And they may not exactly know the price of something, but they have to put it in perspective of what we're asking them to do at work and have a general idea of the cost associated so we can make better decisions on that. So what would you consider maybe those one or two important areas to work on in your first job?
I love this question. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself. So my degree is actually in business administration. So even though I've had a lot of career success in technology, that's not where I started. So I got married really early, at the age of 22. And I know that not everyone has success when they get married at 22, but I did. So the challenge was, I got married at 22 and I was working in finance and contracts administration, not making a whole lot of money. And my wife, who at the time was making a great salary, she said, okay, you have a degree and I don't. What's wrong with this picture? So I just got into IT to match salaries with her, and it worked out. But I say all of that to say, because my degree is in business administration, I do have those other skills in terms of what a business is looking for. And those are things that should be a part of a technology degree, because you do have to understand how technology maps to what the company or organization is looking for. So certainly finance is a big part of what has to happen. You are, as you move up, going to have to learn to put together budgets. If you're a part of a company that's pursuing opportunities with the government, you're going to have to put together a proposal, which means that there is also a cost component to it. So you do have to estimate effectively. You also have to know contracts administration. That's going to be a very big deal because you're going to have to manage subcontractors. You're going to have to manage engagements with vendor partners. And the last piece that's going to be critical is human resources, because you are going to manage people. And that can get an organization in trouble if you don't know what you're doing. So those three areas are absolutely critical for everyone. Number one, finance. Number two, contracts. And number three, personnel, HR.
That's good advice. So I do have one last question. If I am a career changer, let's say I'm working in a complete different industry, but I just really want to move towards this industry, what is your advice for adult career changers trying to change their focus of their career?
I would say is it's going to be really even more important for you to network. You really do have to have someone who gives you a shot in a lot of cases. There are certainly some avenues. There are organizations like Reviture. There's another one, Catalyte in Baltimore, that do a very good job of connecting and forging those relationships with people who are looking to switch careers and people that are looking to hire people who are switching careers. So identify those organizations, number one. Number two, make sure that your network is aware of the fact that you're looking to pivot and to get into a new industry. And number three is adjust your expectations, not necessarily meaning lower your expectations, but be flexible, because the job that you're targeting is not necessarily the job that you're going to get, but there is certainly another opportunity out there for you. And just be prepared for that opportunity when it comes, and be ready to exploit that opportunity. So that would be my advice. Number one, like I said, seek out where those opportunities are, those organizations that are offering those opportunities, and definitely be ready for that opportunity when it comes, and reach out to as many people as you can to let them know that that's what you're looking for.
Bernard, thank you for being on our podcast today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
If you want to get a hold of Bernard Wright, he's president of Wave Welcome. You can find him on LinkedIn. And I want to thank everybody listening to the CapTech podcast today. Remember, Capital Technology University, we're here in Laurel, Maryland. We're here to help you build your career or advance your career. You can find us online at captechu.edu. And thank you for listening today.